Thank you for that. That was great. Mother and daughter singing together. Mother sharing her singing skills with her daughter like I shared mine with my son. Stephen, not Jack. Okay, let's all stand together this evening. Stephen gets offended when I say that. He says he can sing. Is he in patch tonight? Good. The kid can't sing a lick. Okay, he's got that off my chest. I feel better. Exodus chapter number 18. I don't anticipate being long. I don't necessarily need to be long anyhow. I don't really like to be long for the sake of being long. And so, but I do want to help us tonight. I think if you get this, it'll be an encouragement to you. Exodus chapter number 18. We're going to read verses 13 to 21. Exodus 18, 13 to 21. Of course, Patch the Pirate has started back up. That's great. The children can be out there doing that. Exodus chapter 18, verse 13 says this. It came to pass on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses from the morning until the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, "What is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even?" And Moses said unto his father-in-law, "Because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws." And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, "The thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that is with thee. For this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands and hundreds of and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this evening. Bless our time together. I pray that we get the thought we're trying to share, the truth. I think that could help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Of course, all of us face issues in our life at one time or another. Things come our way in the course of life that we need to deal with, maybe make decisions, act upon, know what we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to act in those situations. Sometimes it's in relationships. It could be family members. It could be coworkers. It could be, you know, people you come in contact with. Maybe there's a situation in life that comes our way that we didn't ask for, but it's just there, and we need to deal with that. Could be in a marriage, of course, not that marriage causes any issues or strife or anything like that, of course, but could be something in a family or a marriage that we need to deal with. It could just be a decision that comes our way that we need to make, and we understand that decisions have consequences, and every decision we make is going to lead us on a path or alter our course or alter our path, and so those are very important. It could be about a direction in life, what direction we're going to take, which way do we need to go in this situation, and so forth. Maybe it's something to do with specific things, such as finances, you know, and how to deal with that and things that come our way there. Could be one of 100 different things that come our way on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, and we need to deal with it. We need to make decisions. We need to make sure we're doing the right thing. As these things come our way, what if we don't have the answer to what we are facing? What if we don't know for sure what we should be doing or what direction, what decision, anything like that? Maybe we need help because there's an understanding. We don't quite understand everything, and we want to make sure we understand it. We want to make sure we do the right thing, but we're not understanding it at the time. What if we have maybe complicated things in our life by choices we have made or mistakes or even sin that we have done? It could just be that we just don't know what to do. And so, as Proverbs would teach us, and I'm going to quote you some verses here, we'll seek help from others. We'll seek somebody outside of ourselves to maybe help us get a grasp on our situation, an understanding on what's happening, so that we can maybe make a better informed decision or call in our life. We call that counsel, going to someone to help find the right godly scriptural answers to what we should do in a given situation. The Bible talks much about it. I'm going to quote five verses here from Proverbs. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." Proverbs 12:15, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." A fool thinks that they're right in every situation without consulting somebody else or even God. Proverbs 15:22, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Proverbs 19:20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end." And then Proverbs 20, verse 18, "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war." So the Bible establishes very clearly that counsel is important and is needed. But I personally believe most of the counsel that we come for, most of the counsel that people seek is unnecessary and could be avoided. I know many over the years I have heard, and I wouldn't strife with them, but, you know, I counsel 100 people a week, or bigger churches and so forth. I counsel 100 people a week. Now, I don't know how you can personally do that with, you figure, time constraints. If it's 10 to 15 minutes, you know, the reason is because a lot of the things people bring their way are things that really, that probably didn't need to come their way in the first place. And that's what I'm getting at. What do I mean? I think a lot of what we need counsel for could have been dealt with without counsel. And by the way, I'm not against counsel. I kind of like what Brother Trevor says. I'm not against counsel. I'm against counseling. In other words, there are times when you need something, but most of the time you don't. And what are you saying? I'm saying a lot of things, but I'm going to get to a point here in a minute, and I think you'll get it. But I think we can be helped tonight, and the amount of times that we need counsel can be dramatically cut down. Now, let's look at our text for a minute. Moses, Israelites have just recently come out of Egypt, and God did great things for them. And in the text, if you read the beginning of the chapter, Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, is coming to see him. He's bringing his wife and his children back to him. They've come out of Egypt. As he gets there early in the chapter, Moses starts to rehearse to him all the things that God did. And Moses' father-in-law is excited, and his faith in God is actually strengthened. I don't quite know what his faith was. It sounds like maybe he didn't have a lot of faith, but this kind of helped him steer him towards God. And he thanked God, and he praised God, and he's all excited about it. They kind of have a party about what's going on. And then when we get to these verses, it's like the next day shows up. And early in the morning, Moses goes out. And Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, is seeing this. And all day long, the people line up to see Moses. And Moses is dealing with their problems one by one from the morning until the night. And as he comes back in, Moses' father-in-law starts to talk to him. He wants to alert him to a flaw in his system. He says, "The thing that you're doing, it's not good. You can't be out there all day with a line of people." And so he's going to help him. And by the way, what his plan for help is very good. He says, you need to delegate. You need to find wise men and find out what their abilities are and have them oversee the people. This person over 1,000, this person over 100, this person over 50, this person over 10, depending on their skill level. And then you deal to God with the problems, and then you deal with your leaders, and they'll deal with the people. And if they have something they can't deal with, then the leader will come to you, and you'll help them find the answer that God wants them to have. That's a good plan. Moses will lead the leaders who will deal with counseling and judging the people, except in big situations. Well, there's something that Moses threw in there before he gave him this plan. Something that we kind of skirt, if we're not careful, that would help the situation greatly to kind of deal with things before they ever get to that place in the first place where they need to come to somebody. What is it? Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute. There's a first step that he suggests that he do before he have them go to the other leaders and set the leaders up in place. And I think it's a step that if we understand will help us. So before, as we get into that, I'm not going to tell you exactly what it is. I want to show you two steps, and then I'll give you some practical suggestions, and then you can go eat at McDonald's. Number one, I want you to first notice that the problem is seen. Before we notice the step, I want you to see the problem as it understands. Jethro noticed it right away, his father-in-law, as he sat out there and he saw them lining up. He goes, okay, there's a problem here. Moses was a one-man show. Everything revolved around him. You have to understand something. This is before they really had started to get all of God's laws. The Ten Commandments are coming. And then after that, God's going to start giving Moses all the practical laws that they need for their society. But those were not all set in place yet. You could almost say those weren't set in stone. No pun with the Ten Commandments. And so the people didn't know all the things yet. And so every time something happened, they had to come to Moses to get clarification. And Moses is wearing out, and his father's like, you can't do this. So they were freshly out of Moses, out of Egypt, and they had to come to Moses. And as he looks at the situation and he sees the problem, there's three things that he mentions. He mentions, first of all, that there could be frustration and waiting. He says, Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. Verse 16, when they have a matter, they come to me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And his father-in-law said to him in verse 18, thou will surely wear away. You know what he said? He said, Moses, you're going to wear away. Then he says, for this thing is too heavy for thee. The people are going to have to wait in these long lines. Moses is sitting out there. And listen, sometimes we don't have time to wait to find the answers to our problems. You imagine? Something's going on, and maybe it needs to be dealt with right away, and they're in this long line. Think of it as, how many have ever been to Disneyland? The lines there are ridiculous. I hadn't been there in 15 years. I went Christmas. I ain't going back. I probably went on one of the worst days of the year. There was a line just to walk. I'm not exaggerating. The only good thing was they had good coffee shops there, so that was fine. But it was just long. Because you get in these, oh, this is going to be exciting. An hour and 15 minutes later, is it still going to be exciting? But these people aren't dealing with just getting on a ride and doing a loop-a-de-loop. They're dealing with situations that are causing them stress. There's frustration and waiting. They need the answer. You know, sometimes things come your way and you can't wait for an answer. And if you're not careful and you don't follow what I'm going to tell you in a minute, you might make a bad decision. Frustrating. By the way, that's what happened kind of when Absalom stole the kingdom from David. People would come to see David, and the inference there is that, you know, David was busy, and Absalom would put their hand on their shoulder and say, you know, I wish there was someone else here that could just help you. David's good, but, you know, man, you need help now. And he did that slowly but surely and stole the hearts of the people because there was frustration and waiting. And that can be true of us. Sometimes we need the answers right away. I want you to also notice another problem, the friction of wearing. Thou shalt surely wear away, as I mentioned earlier, for this thing is too heavy for thee. It wasn't good for Moses. You think about wearing, you think about, you throw, you know, rocks, and if the rock stays in the river, over the course of the river, the water flowing and the rock moving, it wears it, it wears it. Things wear away from friction. And that's going to happen to Moses. It wasn't good for Moses for him to be sitting there. I guarantee you the counsel the people got at the beginning of the day was better than the counsel they got at the end of the day. At the beginning of the day, they came and said, we're having marriage problems. He's probably saying, we can work this out. Probably around 9 o'clock at night, it's like, we're having marriage problems. It's like, marriage is overrated anyhow. Just let her go. Now, I'm being facetious there, okay? But listen, his compassion level probably was low, right? He's wearing away physically because he can't do everything himself. And by the way, he shouldn't do everything himself. Friction. It's wearing him away. And then I want you to notice the other issue. The faith of the people is weakening. In verse 18, thou will surely wear away, both thou, and look what he says, and this people that is with thee. He said, Moses, it's not only not good for you, it is not good for them. That's going to be problematic. Anybody that tries to help somebody, you want them to be helped. You don't want them to be weakened. But there are times they need to be able to get the help they need in a timely fashion. They need the right answers at the right time. Well, we see the problem. Now let's get to the gist of it here. Secondly, I want you to see the plan and solution. He gave him a great solution. Most of the time we look at these verses, or someone I've heard, I don't know if you've heard messages on them, I've heard a few. It deals with the kind of people that should be in leadership, the kind of people that should be serving and helping others. Able men, they ought to have ability, they fear God, and so forth and on down the line. By the way, we teach that in leadership. I actually teach the leadership class in the college. We actually started out on Friday. We read these verses, and I did that. We looked through the men. Who are you? What's your qualifications to be a leader and to help and all of that? And what's the situation? And I understand that, and that's true. But the first step will help make the second step a lot better. Okay? So what is this first step? Let's read carefully again verses 19 to 21 together. Open your, if your Bible, if you close them, open them back up. If you're using your Bible on your cell phone, close your Facebook page and turn to verse 19 again. Okay? Don't check your team's score. I'm pretty sure they're losing. Verse 19. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes to God. Okay? That's your job, Moses, right now. And Moses is the one God started giving the laws, which we have throughout the law books there that Moses wrote, because you're going to God for the people. Verse 20, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Verse 21 is the transition. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of them people able men. Okay, that's where we usually start. Who are these men that you put in charge? Moses, you're to Godward for the people. And who are the men they put in charge? But back it up and let's park at verse 20 for a second. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shall show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do. Now, he hasn't started talking about the leaders yet. These are the people. See, that's the missing part. The solution is, now get this, first thing you do is you teach the people God's ordinances and laws, what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do, the work they're supposed to do, so they can deal with the issues, and then you set up the men, because most of the issues are going to go away if the people know what to do on their own from God already. Do you understand that? Most of the time, we come for counsel, not all the time, and I'm talking, and I have some people I'm counseling with off and on, and I'm not talking to you tonight. There are some issues, you come for counsel. It's fine. I'm not saying don't ever meet me at my door. Okay? I am saying I'm never going to say I'm just going to meet at my door, and if you have something you want to talk about, line up. We ain't doing that. Okay? We're going to deal with the big issues that maybe you need. By the way, I will get counsel. I would go to Pastor Esposito on things. Now, I'll talk to other pastors. I don't have all the answers. Fact of the matter is, I probably don't know all the questions. But the fact of the matter is, the majority of the things we go to get counsel for, we don't need to if we would just understand what God says ourselves. Something comes your way and you need to make a decision. Listen, sometimes you don't have time to call somebody. You got to know right away from your own study and from your own listening, this is what God wants in this situation. I don't need to ask somebody else. By the way, not something God told you. I just had an impression. I think God wants me to do that. Take a nap. You don't know that's God. The only reason you know that's God is if it lines up with Scripture, right? Now, if you say, I think God wants me to bless this person with a $10 bill, go at it. But I'm talking about, you know, I just think God wants me to do this. Now, God sometimes will give you, kind of lead you, but he'll confirm that in other people, but that's not the message. The point is, let's know what God says ourselves so we don't get ourselves into bad situations. Let's not miss that step. Why is that important? Because as we learn and apply God's words and principles, two things will happen. We will need less counsel because we already know what God says to do. You don't need to go ask somebody, should I do this? You already know what God says, and so you don't need to ask, just do it. Secondly, we will avoid needing counsel because we're already doing what God tells us to do. Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble because we don't know what God wants us to do, so we don't do what he says, and then the consequences come on us, and now we have to deal with those, and it causes situations. I preached a message many years ago about the story of David where he numbered the people. And after he numbered the people, God gave him three choices as punishment. And we looked at him and said, which one was best? And my answer is, I have no idea. They were all bad. The one David thought was best did not turn out well. The best choice would have been to obey God in the first place and not disobey him in numbering the people. Then he wouldn't have to choose between the punishments. He would have avoided that. And a lot of times we'll avoid problems because we're doing and we're knowing what God says, and we don't have to come to counsel because we're doing all right. Now, again, don't get me wrong. It's like, oh, someone's come to my office. No. Sometimes we need clarification on something, or there's emotions or relationships or something like that, or clarification. That's fine. But I'm just saying the majority of the things that would get in our way would melt away. What are these things that involved in the plan that his father-in-law mentioned? First of all, he mentioned God's commands. And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws. What does that mean? What do his commands deal with? Those are things we should obey. Those are things God just says, do it. That's an ordinance. That's a command. A law. Do it. We don't need to pray about those. We don't need to ask. You don't need to ask. Look, if someone comes and says, should we be physical before we get married? You don't need to ask counsel on that. God said don't do it. The answer is no. God said don't do it. There's no prayer. There's no counsel. Don't do it. Simple. But if we don't know what God says, then we go, what am I hearing on the radio? Probably garbage. You're probably hearing everything from a liberal slant. And so you're just going to follow what everybody else says. But if we know what God says, it makes it so much easier. There's no decision to be made. If David would have known that, there wouldn't have been a trouble. Hey, should I number the people? God had made it very clear. No king was to number the people. God didn't want the king to say, I have 500,000 foot soldiers. I can trust in them for war. God didn't want that. God said, I don't care how many I give you. Whenever you have a war, you trust in me, whether by a lot or little. If I want you to win, you're going to win. And if I'm judging you and you're going to lose, you're going to lose. So David didn't need to think about that. He didn't have to get counsel. Of all the people, Joab, who was very disloyal to David, was saying, don't do this. He didn't get it. So his commands deal with what we're to obey, what we're to believe. If God says it, it's settled. You know, God says it, I believe it, that settles it. That's fine, but really the middle part you can take out because it's settled either way. It's just a matter of will you obey what he says. So if you know God's commands, you'll know what you have to obey, you'll know what you have to believe, and you will know what is right and wrong. Our society says nothing's wrong anymore. Well, guess what? Let me tell you, society, you're wrong. Well, do you know everything? Nope. But the Bible does. And I just know if the Bible says it's wrong, I don't care what society says, it's wrong. And if society says it's right and the Bible says it's wrong, I don't care what society says, it's wrong. Is that where I was at? One of those two. You get the point. Okay? So we don't need to deal with that. So if we know those, it makes a lot of those type of decisions very simple. Should I steal? No. It's, you know, should I be covetous? No, it's in the commands. Also, they deal with God's will, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk. Here's how you're going to live. Walk is a picture of how you live your life. So Moses, if you teach them what God says about how they're supposed to live their life, they'll live their life right, less counsel. Or if something comes their way that's going to get them to walk a way that I've told them not to walk, but they know that's the way they're supposed to walk, they'll know that that's not the way you go. You go this way. Very simple. That deals with how we're supposed to live. Our lifestyle. You know, you just think of it. Look in the Bible. Should I be going to church? That's pretty easy lifestyle choice. Yes. Should I be watching pornography? No. Okay, it makes decisions, and I'm giving you the ridiculous ones, but you know that. But still, we'll know the way we're supposed to live. How does God want us to live? Let's not have to always go to the office to ask somebody. A lot of times I've found, and if you're asking, I'm not talking to you, but some people, they come and ask because they're hoping we'll give them the answer they want to hear. They kind of know that that's not what they're supposed to be doing, but they're hoping that maybe the coffee wasn't good that morning, or like Moses, we're at the midnight hour and we're tired and we'll just tell them what they want to hear. But then when they hear what you want, oh, thank you for that, and then you know they're going to go their way and do whatever they want. Just look, it's just better if we knew that up front, what God said, and let's just be committed to following it. It also tells us the path we're supposed to take. Where does God want us to go? The last one he tells them in his plan is God's requirements. The work that they must do. There's certain things you have to do. God just says, do it. These are requirements of you. That deals with, of course, what we're supposed to do. Should I share my faith? You don't need to pray about that. The answer is a resounding yes. Okay? Should I be interested in missions? I mean, we're going to put the flags up, and we'll have the songs, and Brother Esposito, we'll pluck our feathers a little bit here, and we'll see we'll probably see some pictures of whatever it is, and maybe it'll move our heart. But listen, and I want it to move our heart, but it's what are we going to do the other 51 weeks of the year? We're going to give to missions. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to be interested in what's happening, not just here, by the way. Thank God you're helping here, but worldwide. Worldwide. And also the responsibilities we are to have. There's responsibilities God shares with us in his word, and we're supposed to just fulfill them. The more we know about what God wants from us, commands us to do, and he wants us to be, the easier our decisions are. The less counsel we're going to need. So let me just tie it up with a pretty little bow. Let me give you some practical and sensible suggestions. And there's six. They're by letters, and I don't translate the letters to numbers very well. Let me give you six. You ready? First of all, grow in your walk with the Lord. The very first message we preached when we introduced our message, our series, our theme on Explore the Book was Joshua. Joshua had something to do, and he was going into the land. And he wanted to be successful, and he wanted to be right. And God said, I'm tying everything in your success to one thing, your relationship to my word. You say, what does that have to do with war? What does that have to do? Because God's word has everything to do with everything. It's the answer to everything. The reason we don't know the answers is because we don't know what God said, because we're never in his word. And I've mentioned it, and people will come and say, you know, we're dealing with something. They'll say, well, you know, I know where I'm supposed to be in the Bible, but I'm not really reading it. But and then they want you to help them, and I'm like, you don't get it. That is the problem. Now, sometimes you do. Again, I'm not saying don't come by. If you don't know what to do, and that's one of the points, just come by. We'll do what we can. But I'm just saying a lot of times you don't have time to come by. We mentioned this morning about, you know, a boss asks you to lie. That things are going to come your way, and you're going to have to make split decisions. It'd be nice if you know what God's word says so you already know what the right decision to make is. But that helps as we grow in the Lord. We start learning more about him. We start understanding God. We understand what his word says. And so we know all of these things that we're supposed to do and that we're supposed to be. The next one, it goes along with it. Learn all you can in his word. That's where the answers are found. That's where roadblocks that could potentially get in our way will be identified. That's where everything we need is located. Ignorance is no excuse, but a lot of people use that as comfort. You know, was it the secretary? Who's the Secretary of State? I'm drawing a blank here. Kerry. Yeah, I love that guy. That guy, Kerry, and you know, I know you're supposed to have respect for leaders, but Brother Pineda, it's hard. It's hard. And to be honest with you, and maybe it's sin, and if it is, pray for me. I don't have respect for them. But anyhow, back to Kerry. He got up at a symposium. He was talking to some group, and he said that basically the media should not be covering when terrorists do something bad because it's better for people and makes them feel more comforted if they don't know what's happening. Brilliant. I wish I'd have thought of that. And that guy is smart? I don't think so. I don't care how many books he's read. I don't care how many digits are his IQ. I'll listen to a rock before I listen to him. But isn't that our philosophy? If I don't know about it, it's better for me. Right? That's not good for God's word. It's good for us to know what he says, because it helps us know what we're supposed to do when situations come our way. Learn all you can. Next, be faithful to church and hear all you can. Be faithful. When you're in your Sunday school class and you're in the services and the preaching, you may hear a few points here or there that maybe will stick in your mind. You know, we teach in the family every summer. Pastor started that many years ago. You know, well, there's a lot of singles and youngsters in here. You know, they're learning what they need to do in their families before they're ever married. That's the time to learn. Could you imagine putting a guy in a plane, saying, okay, you're a pilot. We're going to take this up for a test spin. Let's go. I don't know how to fly. Well, here's a book. As you're flying, read the book. I ain't doing that. That's not very smart. But that's what we do with life. Listen, the answers are here. Let's learn it. Let's learn and see it together in church. Next, commit to obedience to God. Doesn't do you any good to hear something if you're not going to commit to say, I'm learning what God is telling me to do, but it's always going to come down to a situation where you're going to have to apply it in your life or do what it says. Are you committed to it? If you're not committed to it up front, if it's up for debate, your emotions may take over and you probably aren't going to make the right decision. That's why I like Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart. See, Daniel, when Daniel was brought in and they brought the wrong food and the wrong thing, and there was a lot of other temptations that were going to come his way, but Daniel had already purposed because he knew it was coming. He had already purposed in his heart, here's what I'm going to do. And so he didn't flinch. You're going to eat this. Sorry, my God said we can't do that. Now, he wasn't a stickler. He talked to the man, hey, can we work out something different? Because in some situations you can. But what about the situations where it's like, if you pray, I'm throwing you in a den of lions. He didn't flinch. He didn't go home and pull his curtains down so I can pray and they'll never see me. I'll pray in my heart and they'll never know. He left the windows wide open and he dropped down like he always did and he prayed. Where'd that conviction come from? He had decided that a long time ago. He had already decided, I ain't doing that. And so when the situation came, you know what came out of his mouth? The correct answer, because he was already committed? No. How you got? No. See, we're too wishy-washy. We don't do that. We're not going to be committed till we hear it, and it sounds good. But when the rubber hits the road, will we really do it? Well, if we commit to it ahead of time, it'll be a lot easier. Next, avoid self-inflicted issues. A lot of problems we have, and I can put my hand up. I've had some. But because we don't do the right thing. See, we disobey. We know what the right thing to do is, but we kind of skirt it. And then that causes complications. And now we have to deal with the complications. And to fix the complications is a lot harder because sometimes those are the consequences of sin. And there's no easy out. Oh, we could get forgiveness, don't get me wrong, but we still have to deal with the issues. And so let's avoid the self-inflicted. Now, some situations are going to come your way and it's not your fault. It's just the situations of life, and you're kind of thrown in that way. It wasn't Daniel's fault that the lion den came. It wasn't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's fault that the fiery furnace came. They were just doing what they're supposed to be doing. But there are a lot of other issues that come our way because we don't listen to God and we disobey him in the first place. Let's avoid those. That would get rid of a lot of our things. And then the last thing is this, and we're done. Do go for counsel when you don't know how something applies to you, or if you do need help in finding answers because you just don't know them yet. It's okay. And maybe you knew the answer and you didn't follow it. Now you're dealing with the issues of sin. Come get some help. Maybe you're newer and you don't understand it. That's fine. But I do know this. The longer that you walk with God, the more things you know, the more issues you're going to be able to deal with without having to go to somebody, because you already know what God said on the situation. Moses gave a great plan. Moses' father-in-law gave a great plan. Moses, you're killing yourself. You're hurting the people. You need to get more people involved, because there was a lot of Israelites. He goes, but don't forget the first step. Teach the people the ordinances of God. Teach the people what they're supposed to do. Teach the people their responsibility, because if you do that, that's also going to cut down on the counsel that they would need. Let's all stand together this evening. Thank you for listening. Every head bowed, every eye closed.